Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
It wasn't pounding his chest, I'm the greatest, but it could be. This segment with Mark Grody on Spiegel and Holmes is brought to you by McGrath City Honda. When you do the math, you choose McGrath. Mark Grody, your dime, your dance floor, partner. Give us the update on the injury report first. Scare us before you play tape that might scare us more.
How you doing, everybody? Just having a Diet Coke out here, if we're going to go with that theme that nobody really knows or understands what's happening right now. But that's Chet Kopic, one of the radio classics of this industry. But yes, let us start by saying that we kind of turned the page out here today. I'm going to be turning the page back and forth throughout this report. And
good.
We will start with the injuries for sure, because they are of consequence, and today was a real practice. Yesterday was just a walkthrough, and because it was a real practice today, Tevin Jenkins did not practice, nor did Braxton Jones. That's two starting offensive linemen, if you're keeping track here. Kieran Amagaji did not practice. I can just tell you right now, he's not going to be available to play. He's still walking around in that walking boot. There's no way Amagaji is going to be available.
What about Jaquan Brisker?
Well, Jaquan Brisker, he did not practice today, Lawrence.
Wow.
I did have a conversation with Jaquan Brisker today. He was not in the locker room last week, so it was good to see him. He was smiling when I saw him, and I just kind of was taking his temperature on when he might be back. He's not going to tell me exactly, but I can infer from the conversation with Jaquan Brisker that he's probably not going to be playing at Arizona on Sunday. And I think that we can all infer that being that he did not practice again today. And I think the plan for Brisker is, look, we keep talking about it, but it's real. That divisional gauntlet that is right around the corner. You've got at Arizona this week, and then the game home against New England, and then it begins with the divisional play. So maybe he plays next week against New England, but I'm not even sure about that at this point as far as Brisker is concerned. Filling in a few other blanks too on the offensive line, Larry Borum did practice in full today. That's important. I did talk to Larry Borum today and just straight up, because he was inactive last week, straight up asked him, you think you're going to be active this week? He said, absolutely, yes. So, you know, if one of those, if Braxton Jones is out, look for Larry Borum to potentially step in at that left tackle spot. Not ideal, but, you know, he is a capable swing tackle, a fill-in guy as well. Mm. Ryan Bates practiced today, guys. He was limited. I had a conversation with him as well. And again, not telling me anything, but inferring from the conversation I had with Ryan Bates, it probably would be unrealistic to think that he would be available for this Sunday's game. And he has been, for the most part, working out at guard. Don't look for him to take over for Coleman Shelton, even though I think he was supposed to be the starting center at the beginning of training camp.
So are you playing left tackle for the Bears this
weekend? I got it, Lawrence. I got it on lockdown. Don't you worry.
Hey, I'm just happy to see a healthy, happy Darnell Wright walking around in the locker room today.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, you're counting. Nate Davis could come into play. And again, he decided that he did not want to speak to reporters today.
He had ping pong.
No ping pong today. I actually heard, I saw Jason Leisure go up to him and he again politely declined. So I was like, okay, if, not going to talk to Jason, I don't think he's going to talk to any of us. So another day in which, Nate Davis did not want to talk to us, but he could come back into play. A little bit of good news too. Montez Sweat, who was down as a DNP, did not practice yesterday. Sweaty was limited today, did not talk today. So no, that's Montez, but we'll have a very special Friday edition of That's Montez, which is tomorrow. Tomorrow's Friday, right?
I mean, that is correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is correct. All day tomorrow, it's going to be Friday.
That's awesome.
Kyler Gordon, I'm worried about him because Marvin Harrison plays out of the slot a lot these days.
Yeah. And he had a big game last week, of course, in Arizona's 28-27 win over Miami. I did not get a chance to talk to Kyler Gordon today, but he did not practice. I tend to think that this is a situation where he's probably not going to play either. I didn't talk to him, so I can't give you any real intel on that. But seeing him walk around, he's not favoring anything at this point. But as I have learned in my time covering the Bears, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. He does not look like a guy who is going to be playing this Sunday in Arizona.
Man, there's a lot for the Bears to overcome this week, isn't there?
Yeah. Yeah, there is. There is. And I think you're going to have to take that into account when we start to actually, I just did a prediction, which you'll have to check out the Take the North podcast tomorrow. Did a prediction on that. But there's a lot, guys, to take into account when you talk about this game. And not to mention the fact that Arizona is not a bad team. They are a 500 team, and you are playing in Arizona against a mobile quarterback and Kyler Murray, who could do some damage against the Bears.
All right, Grody, you know what we need to hear. You toggle back and forth with the page as best as you see fit, sir.
Yeah, let's turn the page back here. We're not moving it forward here yet because Shane Waldron, he gets his chance to react to some of the things that went on with the offense this past week. And number one with a bullet is the Doug Kramer play at the goal line on which the mini fridge fumbled the ball. Here's Waldron on that.
Reflecting on it, I think every play call that doesn't work out, you go back and look at it and see, was it the best call in that situation? And I think I'll always look inwardly first. And every play call that doesn't work out, obviously you're going to have a sense of, what could I have done better as a play caller? What situations could I put those guys in? But I also, going back to the play, I have all the confidence in the world in all of our players. And I think something that we've repped and worked on came up in the moment as a third and one call there. It didn't work out. But what I was most proud about was seeing then our defense go get a three and out. Our offense comes over to the sideline. Everyone's eyes are up. Everyone's communicating, and they're ready to attack the next drive and have a chance to score on that next drive as well.
Shane, the criticism of the Kramer call, whether it worked or not, was that it was too critical of a situation to give the ball to a center who's never had a carry in an NFL game or probably a college game for that matter. What's your response to that?
Yeah, I think, like I said, I felt confident in the moment in that call, and it didn't work out. And, some of the calls, when the calls don't work out, there's going to be the criticism. I'll always look inwardly first and then move on to the next one, and we're on to Arizona with that.
But it wasn't just a matter of whether it worked or not. It's that there was the theory is that there was a higher risk giving it to of the ball to a guy who's never been in that situation in a real game. Mm-hmm. Is that a valid criticism?
I think there's always valid criticism when things don't work out. And like I said, we'll work inwardly. We'll wrap our arms around each other and work to look forward and execute better and call better plays the next situation that arises in.
Would you do it again if you had to do it all over again?
In that moment? Yeah, I was confident. We had trust in it. And looking back at it, all the things that go into any call throughout the course of the game, whether it's early calls in the game that lead to stuff not working out or calls in the middle, calls at the end, critical calls, always assess those and go forward.
So he doesn't think there was anything wrong with it. Mm-hmm. He still believes in his players, which is a way of saying the players screwed it up, but that's okay. They're players. It's a way of putting it off on them. Do you think he's more accountable and forthcoming in private than he is in public?
I think this is what I think. I think they will never, ever, ever, ever run that play again. And he can say, and I thought it would have been very easy for him to say, oh, of course, in hindsight, we wouldn't have done that again. But I think, you know, there again, like with Matt Eberflus and now with Shane Waldron, there's a little bit of pride here. There's also, you know, they are protecting themselves. You know, they don't want to put out there, yeah, I'm a bad offensive coordinator, for the world to hear that we shouldn't have run that play and it was a bad idea to run that play. They keep saying they believed in it. They repped that play. But again, never again. I can promise you that. Take that to wherever you lay your bets down. He is not going to get the ball on the goal line ever again.
I suppose in that sense, you want to make it seem possible that you will run it again if you want to keep all your options open, theoretically. Yeah.
I feel bad for Doug, too, because like this shouldn't end the possibility of him ever carrying the rock again. Because to me, it's not the play. It's the situation.
Mm. Yeah, but the stakes are too high now. I mean, right? Like, if they do it again and they bungle it again, that might be the time where we see something that is unprecedented and coaches on the Bears staff get fired. Could you imagine? Could you imagine?
He's going to catch a pass when he goes in motion one of these times. Up two touchdowns. He's going to catch a pass.
I feel bad for him, too. And I was talking to the offensive line coach today, Chris Morgan, and just about almost the human side of it, knowing how close these guys are, because you guys know this, Lawrence, you haven't covered the Bears. You know the assistants are the guys that really take care of the play, the position group guys. Chris
Morgan.
First
point of contact is your position coach.
First point of contact, that's where they go. They're the guy that tells you it's going to be okay, and, you know, hey, maybe the coach yells at you, and then Chris Morgan will be the guy that says everything's going to be okay. And, you know, he kind of said the same thing, that we were confident, that we repped it, and of course, he felt bad for him, and I think there was probably some of that. I feel bad for Doug Kramer as well. Friend of the show, good guy to speak to, Illini guy. But it happened, and luckily there are guys here that are watching over him and making sure that he is okay. And Chris Morgan is the first point of contact there.
All right, what else from Shane? Right.
Yeah, let's turn the page. But we are going to talk about football right here. And there's a great question out here by Caitlin Sharkey of WGN Sports about some of the surprising incompletions thrown by Caleb Williams this year.
Number of times Caleb Williams tell us he's missing throws that he wouldn't normally miss. When you go back and you look at those missed throws, what are you kind of seeing or diagnosing from those situations?
Yeah, I think Caleb's just doing a good job of just building an inventory of seeing these throws, different ones that he knows that he can make, especially, you know, early on in the games, and does a good job of looking to self-correct, looking to see, making sure feet, eyes, rhythm is all in a good spot right there. And then it's when it's a chance to work off schedule, you know, and you know, hits that first throw and then clicks right in. And I think the best part about Caleb, though, is if he misses a throw, he does. He has that forward-thinking mindset, so he's ready for that next play, ready for that next challenge. So he never lets that a play before or an incompletion before. I look back to the Jacksonville game, an interception. He doesn't let that affect his next play. He'll come right back out there, ready to fire and ready to go through the process.
We've seen that proof, right, Lawrence? We've seen that proof that he's forward looking. What about the early part of that when he's talking about the rhythm and the footwork and such? What'd you make of that, guys?
Yeah, let me do this. Robbie the Tree Triano is getting pretty good at this now. I'm going to pull a quick audible here. I'm going to go to Kerry Joseph, and I don't usually play you guys the assistants. I was just talking about the assistants. He is the Bears quarterbacks coach, the Bears passing coordinator, and it has been
hot route, red seven.
He, Kerry Joseph, I have been having a really hard time getting answers from guys, including Caleb Williams, including Shane Waldron, on why the slow starts for Caleb Williams, including last week. And to Shane Waldron's credit, when we asked him the questions, that he was very specific in that, well, there was a penalty and then there was a bad snap, but why is this a pattern beyond the mistakes, and specifically for Caleb Williams? And I got a great answer, I thought, from Kerry Joseph. Take a listen to this.
With some of the rough beginnings, including last week, is he too amped up, or is he just inaccurate?
He's a 22-year-old rookie quarterback, playing in the NFL, you know, so you're going to have emotions here and there. And but he does a great job of just staying relaxed and just being in the moment. You know, he doesn't change. You know, when he comes out and we do our pre-game throws, he's the same way. And you just have those moments, you know. It's everybody's different. You know, everybody has their moments. And but the thing I love about him is the way he resets himself. You know, even if he misses a throw here or there, I mean, for him to come back and to play the way he played in the fourth quarter, man, that's nothing but grit and mental toughness.
I agree there. I think that's one of the best things that came out of that game is that he didn't go into the tank. That they were the defense played well enough that that game was still a game. And because Washington didn't put them away, Caleb and the offense didn't stop fighting, and they found their way back in that game.
They did. I love the admission that he's a 22-year-old kid in the NFL and feels nerves. Thank you, Kerry. And we know that those guys are tight. He's the first, what'd you call it, Lawrence, first point of contact?
Yep.
And he's the guy that he was supposed to reach out to all offseason if he had any questions about the playbook or anything. So you know the relationship developed, and you know we got some honest character appraisal right there. Of course, imagine being 22 in the NFL. Of course you're going to get nervous sometimes.
Yes, and I know you guys have talked about that and replayed from HBO Hart. Was it Hard Knocks where he said that he doesn't get nervous, and that's fine, but it's human. Yeah, he's 22 doing things that he's never done before at the highest level of sports. So that was refreshing to get that answer. And it's okay. It's okay that he's got a little anxiety. I mean, you want that to go away, but if he's a little amped up, a little bit anxious early, I think that is okay. So I'm glad that I was able to get that answer out of Kerry Joseph. And I felt like Kerry Joseph wanted to answer it too. He's like, look at him. Look, dude, he's 22. Okay. And I thought it was a great answer from him.
Let's go back to the game that's coming up though, because it Speaks and I were talking about it a little bit earlier of, okay, like what's real from what we've seen. And do you throw out the high and the low of the games that Caleb has played in, and that's probably where he's at. How does that compare to what he's going to see this week against Arizona?
Yeah, it's not a great defense that Arizona has, but they do have some concepts that might confuse a rookie quarterback, and they also have one real badass player in Buda Baker, the free safety who just had coming off a 12-tackle game in that one-point win over Miami. So here's Shane Waldron on him and more.
You know, around the league each week, there's a lot of great players on every team, and then there's these unique players like Buda Baker that really set the tone, set the attitude, set the culture for a team and for a defense. And I think the way that he his ability to run and hit and cover, impact the game, run the alleys, going against him multiple times. Talk about a fearless player that's always in attack mode. So he's one of those guys that we always have to respect. We need to account for. They obviously use a unique structure with how they're able to move him around. So it's a big part of our game plan and a big part of our week for a guy that we have a ton of respect for.
What else stands out about their defense beyond Buda Baker?
Yeah, starting with Buda Baker and then the ability to move around Collins or their different pieces with Wilson, you know, in non-normal alignments, you know, they might be a defensive line alignments. They might be at linebacker alignments. So they can mix and match. I think Coach Rawls, it's a very unique scheme. So it's something that we honed in on starting work on Monday and then have worked all the way through, and it'll be a good challenge to attack.
Yeah, you know, Buda Baker going against Seattle a couple times a year. Shane Waldron got a good look at that. I was trying to think, was he there when DK Metcalf tracked down Buda Baker after that, the interception? Might have been before Waldron was there.
I think it was right before he was there.
Okay.
God, that was an incredible play.
One of the greatest plays we've ever seen.
Both plays were incredible.
Yes. And Sam Baker made an incredible play on that one.
And I think he was running, I think Buda Baker was running at like 19 miles per hour.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't like, it wasn't Paul Konerko.
No.
With the interception.
And it wasn't Leon Lett celebrating while Don Beebe tracked him down either.
Oh, classic.
It was hustle on hustle. So that Arizona defense is well coached. They're awfully young in the secondary, other than Buda. You can throw on them, guys. There's like big numbers have been put up throwing on them.
Yeah, and he also referenced, by the way, Lawrence, Alabama guy, Mac Wilson Sr., the weak side linebacker. So a little bit of a reference. Yeah, there you go. That's just for you. Let us get now to the defensive coordinator. Eric Washington was front and center as well. And obviously, we had to ask him about Tyreek Stevenson being out of position, go figure, on the Hail Mary. Here's the way Washington sees everything.
You know, our operations, the way that we work, the way that I work is good, bad, or indifferent. My job is to develop the defense and every person that's involved in that, the entire construct. And so we know exactly what we have to do week in and week out. And when you have a moment like that, you have a situation where we don't finish the game the way that we want, we look at it. We also acknowledge some of the things that really put us in a position to be in that type of play. A team that was scoring 30 points a game, 4 field goals, South Stand, there were a lot of things that went on. But it's a moment of reflection. It's a moment of growth. And my job is to help every single person on the field in that situation.
When you look back at how that ensued, should somebody of authority been, you know, seen that and been able to do something about it?
I won't. You know, what I just mentioned, as far as what we're looking at, how we're managing the entire operation and looking at exactly what's going on, we're processing the situation. My expectation for every player on the field is to be in the right position and to do exactly what they're supposed to be doing at that particular point.
Do you have an opinion on consequences, and is there anything that you can or are allowed to reveal in terms of potential consequences for Tyreek Stevenson?
Yeah, my focus is moving forward. And making sure that we get the defense ready for the Arizona Cardinals, and that's where I am. And I'm not involved. I'm not as much interested in consequences as I am making sure that we grow from every situation that we're involved in.
Man, it's interesting. They get to talk about it on a Thursday, so they can say we're just moving on. But there's stuff in there that applies to everything that we lived with on Monday and Tuesday, and of course Sunday. And he sounded a little stumbly for the first time I've ever heard Eric Washington sound that way, didn't he,
Lawrence? I did like how he sounded at the end, though, and I get where he's coming from. But the fact that he's the eye in the sky and didn't see what was going on, and or he did and it wasn't able to be relayed to the sidelines quick enough to get a timeout, that's a problem with your operation.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it is.
Someone's got to see that.
And it's, to add to that, too, Lawrence, is obviously not in his purview to have an opinion on punishment or consequences or anything like that. You know, when you're in this awkward situation with, and it's worked out, the Bears defense is very good. Eric Washington is the defensive coordinator. Matt Eberflus is the defensive play caller. So ultimately it falls on him. Not that Eric Washington gets a free pass. He is the DC. He's got to have eyes on. But this goes to a higher power, and that is Matt Eberflus, who I just called a higher power.
So was that the only exchange about the timeout, the possibility of a timeout, just that shorty that was in there? Like where he basically says he doesn't want to talk about somebody of authority, because he's of an authority. Like if he's on headset, he could say, "Hey Matt, call a timeout. We need it." Like he could have said that too.
Yeah, he could have. No doubt about that, Speaks. Yeah, he could have. I mean, it just seems like as a collective, even going to the players, that it was missed, that the timeout, that play. I mean, a little confused on whether or not players are empowered in that position to call a timeout. I'm sure they would not be admonished if they had called the timeout in that spot, but it feels like all layers sort of failed on this play.
What's interesting is that Matt Bowen told us earlier in the show that if you look, Tyreek did get activated in time to get back and get in on the play.
Yeah, plenty of time.
But everything sped up.
Everything sped up, and he didn't do the right thing.
Right, right. No, I noticed that, too. I was like, didn't he have enough time to get in? He did, then he wasn't in the right place.
Right. But so I could see them looking at it and being like, maybe they'll be fine. All right, you had one more Eric Washington you wanted to get to.
Yeah, really good stuff from Eric Washington, who clearly has a very healthy respect for Kyler Murray.
You could describe him as a nightmare. For opposing offenses, defensive coordinators. This young man has tremendous speed, arm talent. He can change the arm angle against the rush. They've done an excellent job of protecting him, and he's done a great job of protecting the football. Not a lot of opportunities for interceptions, and I'm looking forward to him taking a pretty significant leap this week.
You're coming off a game where the quarterback and Jaden Daniels rushed for 52 yards, 6.5 yards per clip. How does that get better against Kyler Murray, or is there just a certain amount that you're just going to expect from guys like that?
We won't concede, you know, any yards from anyone. We've got to do a good job of making sure that we understand how to affect a quarterback with that type of speed and mobility. And that means that it starts with our four-man rush. Where's the launch point? How can we squeeze and collapse the pocket inside out, make sure that we stay available to follow through, and to just to execute the plan that we have in place. Some of the quarterback runs, those are assignment-driven, and we have to make sure that we're in great position, and not only with the person who may be involved in the option play, but with the entire defensive concept.
Describing him as a nightmare?
Yeah.
I can't imagine that makes people feel good about Sunday, or maybe it does.
I will say that, I mean, hey, this will be the second straight week that they will be dealing with a quarterback with that star skill set with arm and with legs. So I'd like to think that preparing for that kind of quarterback 2 weeks in a row might make them better at it this week.
This one is very, very short, so I hope they get a big push up the middle with Dexter and Billings. Groats, any nuggets, any tidbits?
Yeah, I got a few things. My Take the North partner and Dan Wiederer and frequent score contributor Weedsy did say, or indicating that Tyreek Stevenson probably will not start the game at Arizona as a consequence, as we continue to discuss that. So that's the indication from Dan Wiederer. That in the name of Halloween, there was a Chewbacca mask in the Bears locker room today. And of course,
from Star Wars.
That's right. From Star Wars. Being the intrepid reporter that I am, I got to the bottom of it. It was Cole Kmet. Cole Kmet was Chewbacca. Oh. And then of course, I asked Caleb Williams, whose locker is right next to Cole Kmet's, do you dress up? And he said, oh, no way. But I said, okay, well, in the past, have you? And he says, yeah, I usually go with a onesie, like a Mutant Ninja Turtles onesie or something fun like that. He says, it's just very comfortable.
So he's my 12-year-old son, then, is what he is.
Well, yeah, like we said, the theme of Caleb, he's only 22. He's just a baby, so he can wear a onesie. Absolutely. That's all I got, guys.
Thanks, Mark.
Bears.
You're the best.
In lieu of what Groats had to say, what do you think, Speaks, about flipping our next two segments?
I think that makes all the sense in the world. I think it's time to lean in to just how wonderful today really is. And I'm going to tweet and release to the world.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Yes, the picture of one of my proudest moments regarding this holiday.
Where are you going to tweet it from?
At Speaks and Holmes. I'll put it out now. Maybe come a mute fest or a block fest. I'll be prepared if need be.
Fam, I have seen this picture that Speaks is about to tweet from the show account.
Yes.
You need to see it, and we need to discuss it.
Yep.
So how about we do that?
All right, yeah, and Connor can put it up on the Twitch as we're discussing, as well as a picture of the one of the four of us with the courage to come in costume today, the tree.
I am very proud that you were going to share this with people, and I feel touched that as your partner, you trust me enough to share this with the world. And allow me to share in all of the grief that we're going to get after you tweet it.
Bring it. Unafraid. It's Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Or
Spiegel and Holmes.
The woo people are out.
Thanks for playing some Wu Tang. That made me feel good.
Chilling with my man Rusty Ghost is a beast.
Wu Tang is for the children.
Afternoons on the Score.
It is out there. I have retweeted it. You can see the choice that my partner Matt Spiegel and his absolutely lovely wife, Steen, made for Halloween.
Oh, God, it was so much fun, dude.
It seems like it. I actually think that you should also, in retrospect, because we had talked a little bit about it.
Yeah.
I think you got to retweet the cigar one, too.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think
it's a good juxtaposition.
I almost added it to the initial tweet. But, yeah, we were the twins from The Shining. We were the little girl twins from The Shining, which is actually inspired. Stanley Kubrick was inspired by a photo from an incredible photographer named Diane Arbus, a New York photographer who shot photos of very strange New Yorkers. And she did a picture of twins that inspired Kubrick. But anyway.
And twins.
I know. Twins have always freaked me out, man. The Sedins freaked me out. On the Vancouver Canucks?
Well, when the Sedins are doing the twin stuff, it's not just that they're twins, but
right.
When you have that video of them doing exactly the same thing,
yes,
at the same time, in the same rhythm,
that's
creepy.
Or when they would pass to each other with, you know, seemingly eyes behind their head, or like twins who invent a language that only they understand. Twins freak me out, man. They always have. And The Shining freaked me out. So, yeah, we did this, The Shining Twins, and we got two dresses, different sizes. Mine was bigger than hers, but, yeah, she didn't need a wig. I did need a wig, so I was essentially in drag at Halloween.
Yeah, whatever floats your boat or finds your lost remote.
Dude, it was so fun. It was so damn fun, and it was, like, interesting to walk around because, like, when I'm with her, we could pause and hold hands and look scary to people and go, come play with us, Danny. Forever and ever and ever.
See, this is why he left.
Yeah. And we could lean into it and freak people out. But when she would let go and like go get somebody a drink or go walk around, all of a sudden I'm just a dude in a dress. I'm just a guy standing there in a dress. And that was, it was a little jarring to people a little bit, but you know, I
think what's jarring, at least in your case, is the full goatee.
Yeah, the full facial hair and the whole thing.
But again, as long as everyone's consenting, and you not hurt nobody, do you?
Hey, be honest. When you get home, you put that dress right back on.
Christine texted me today. She's like, are you wearing it to work? I'm like, no, I'm not wearing it to work.
But
she said it's Halloween.
It's the first thing in your closet. You get home. Dude, I do it. I get home. I take my clothes off. I put on the shorts, like the go-to shorts, the go-to t-shirt,
whatever. Oh, right. Yeah, that's great.
So yours is just replaced by the Shining dress.
It is not.
And let your hair down.
No, it's not. Well, I'd have to put it up. I have to put the hair on at the skull cap to go under the wig. No.
Ooh, the picture's on the Twitch right now.
Yeah, yes. It's right there for all the people inside of the mob on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. So, Connor, honestly, for the rest of this segment, just keep it up. You don't have to cut back and forth to our faces. Keep that picture up.
We crushed that thing.
Oh, split screen. There it is.
Yeah, there it is. There you go.
My favorite touch, though, is the little bow. The bow is amazing.
Me too, Robbie.
Yeah. Christine worked so hard. She got, like, stitch witchery, which is stuff that you can, like, iron onto something, and it's basically... It's like you're sewing.
Also, Stitch Witchery. That just sounds cool.
Yeah,
Stitch
exactly. Witchery. Happy Halloween, everybody. By the way, Robbie's wearing an entire hot dog thing. And like you're a hot dog today, and I think you look great. There's no ketchup on your hot dog, right?
Is no, that, absolutely not.
That's a Chicago dog.
There could be if you wanted to, by the way, you can put ketchup on a hot dog.
No ketchup whatsoever. Yeah, but the thing is, I look around. Nobody else in the entire office is wearing a Halloween costume. It's literally just me and a hot dog.
Yeah, you look like an idiot. I'm going to be honest. You know what I mean? I mean, this coming from a guy who wore a dress on Saturday.
But this is the one day to look like the idiot, and it's totally socially acceptable. Yeah. I'm disappointed with everybody here.
Okay.
This hot dog is disappointed.
All right, well, now we know for next year.
It's a disappointed hot dog.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Soggy. It's been Shame. Rolling That's on the 7-Eleven roller for hours.
So Christine said, are you wearing the dress to work? I said, no, I can't go because my other twin's not there. And she said, you should have brought the other one for Shane to wear.
I would have done it with you.
You would have, right?
Of course I would. It's fun. It's a fun thing.
See, next year.
It's a lot fun of hindsight thing. Coming here.
Bring it to Vegas. I'll wear it with you in Vegas when we go next weekend.
We are going to have a good time in Circa.
It's just two guys hanging out at the Legacy Club. You know, as the Shining Twins. Derek would embrace that.
Of course he would.
Lawrence, when's the last time you dressed up? I feel like Halloween is a wonderful opportunity for adults to lean in to their goofy side, their creative side, to stretch their comfort level, all those things.
I think college.
Oh, man.
I think I did, like, crisscross in college.
Oh, pictures or it didn't happen. Let's go.
I have
go.
A picture.
Let's go.
I have a picture, but, like, it's funny. Like, Halloween was never a big thing in my family. And it's like when you're a kid, you don't understand why. And as an adult, you're like, oh, yeah, that's probably wasn't the best idea to have a kid walking around 112th and Halsted back in the 80s. It probably wasn't the best idea. And you're like, why can't I be like everyone else? But I think my parents probably got that part right.
Mm. Yeah, it can be scary. It can be scary to send your kid out into the wilds, you know, of the city. I'm a little afraid for the Roobster tonight, but, you know, he's going to be with a pack. A whole pack of kids. And
yeah, I like that the kids are starting early,
yes.
And it makes it easier for the adults, too. Like, you get home from work, you know there's going to be a bunch of kids at your door asking for candy, and you give them the candy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, I feel like we nailed it. What we didn't do, what I thought was going to be really, really triggering for people, because it's me and my wife, what if we started making out a little bit later in the night? Oh, my God, the twins are making out.
Did that happen?
I kept trying to make it happen for obvious reasons, because I'm in love with my wife, but also because I thought it would really, like, either end the party or really kick it up to a next level.
Yeah, then maybe it's a whole new thing.
There's no
kink-shaming. Maybe there's a fishbowl, and there's some keys that go inside the fishbowl at that point.
I saw the ice storm. Let's go.
Hey. And again, as long as everyone consents.
Yeah, no kink shaming.
I got no problem with it.
No kink shaming on that, this show.
On this show, we are not about kink shaming.
No, we are not. All right, so far, nobody.
I think people have reacted in a very appropriate manner to this. I really do, and I think that's good. I think that's a step forward.
I think so too. It's about the modern. It's the modern communication. It's like the modern football player. You know what I'm saying? By the way, Dave Wanstead at the top of the hour.
Yeah, I'm going to need you to show that to Wanstead. I'm going to need that to happen. I don't think his reaction is going to be the same as everyone else's, but maybe it is. Who knows? When we come back, do we need to start talking about the Bulls? That's next on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
I'm just saying, Lawrence, you were saying some stuff last week, if my memory is correct.
That's why Danny left.
Afternoons on The Score.
Right in front of us, boots on the ball, Black, Holtz, looks, in play. They go to Banchero, who forced it up. And the Banker, they're going to wave it off. You can't do that. Yep. The Banker went in, but again, you can't do it.
Nope.
You can't grab and throw. And this ball game is over. Bulls win. Bulls win.
Great job of knowing the rules by our guy, Chuck. It was also the case on the television call. Adam Amin explaining and breaking down. You can't do that. What a wild game that was for the Bulls last night, where you look up and go, oh, they're down 26-9. This is going to be a thing. And this is going to be one of those games where Orlando just dog walks them. And that's not what it was.
No.
It was a very entertaining basketball game last night.
The Bulls came charging all the way back from down 20. Again, they're 3-2. They're above 500.
Four seed, baby.
Are they a four seed right now?
I think so.
It's amazing. For the first time in 2 years, they're
it's
above
too high
500.
Of a seed.
I know one person who watched it. I know another one who couldn't, which is hilarious, by the way. But the one who watched it is our resident hoops junkie, who found himself addicted yet again and using hoops last night, watching the Bulls over the World Series.
I had such a nice break. The drug was not attractive last year. I was able to stay away from the drug thanks to the help of Dr. MBA, who usually sits to my right, who's not with me right now.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I was more susceptible to hoops.
Okay.
And that's kind of what happens with junkies. My sponsor was not here.
And I take that back. Three seed right now.
They are the third best team
Orlando
in the Eastern Conference.
That's
3-2, above 500. Josh Giddey is a baller, obviously. Two straight 20-point comeback wins from my Chicago Bulls had me locked in last night. Horrible basketball game. Horrible basketball game. But those are my horrible Bulls.
I think that's the lyrics to the songs.
Yes. Exactly.
My horrible Bulls.
Yeah.
My horrible Bulls.
I had no interest in baseball last night because I am locked in on the Bulls. I, honest to God, probably watch 74 games a year. And I don't know if people know that about me.
I don't think they do.
But I am locked in on the Bulls always. And, I mean, they're just fun.
Well, they play fast.
Like, last year was fun bad. Now they're just like, okay, hold on. Is this just fun?
So they're now good enough to be fun.
Yes, I think so. And it's not going to stay like that. They play some of the worst defense in the NBA.
100%.
Like, they're going to lose 55 games, probably. But
they shoot a tremendous amount of threes now.
So on nights where those threes just
really
fall? No, they didn't have to last night.
The percentage was great for them last night.
Giddey going 4-for-4 helped. They didn't need to do it a ton last night. But they are just going to run into weird games where Io, Kobe, Lonzo, Zach, and Giddey each have like two threes. And that's what? That's 30 points there from the five of them? Just on two threes each?
Yeah, like, and the thing is that Kobe's actually not shooting well yet.
No, he's not.
But on the season, they're third in the NBA in three-point attempts per game. Third! Celtics, Warriors, Bulls.
That's how you become a three seed, my friend.
I mean, that is one way to do it. So to play, and are they still number one in pace?
Number one in pace, but not number one in efficiency.
Okay.
Their pace is up. Their efficiency is not.
Okay.
Technically, from an efficiency standpoint, they're better on defense, believe it or not.
Wow. And Lawrence, were you able to watch them last night in your time at the airport, sir?
Well, okay. No, I was not, and I was surprised by that. So I get to Midway last night, and I'm like, okay, this is going to work out.
Where
for sure, when I go to the White Sox bar at Midway, they'll have the game because, you know, it's them. And alas, it was not the case.
Unbelievable.
They did not have the rabbit ears.
It says White Sox on the bar right there.
And I got to tell you, that White Sox place, is that new one that they've put in Midway, is really nice.
That's nice.
But
they should get the games on the TV.
Well, the games should be on TV for a lot of reasons.
Well, they really should.
For a lot of people.
Yeah. No, people want to know it. No, they're not. Sir texting or ma'am texting, no. You still have to buy a $12 antenna if you'd like to watch it. Or if you'd like to watch.
More than 12.
Yeah, or if you'd like to watch Yvonne's Piano. You're welcome to do that. But I think that it's really cool that we have discovered a new basketball correspondent. We've got a new Bulls correspondent. Not basketball. I can't expect him to watch any other games at all. But Bulls correspondent Shane Reardon has been hired. Don't you think, Lawrence?
I think that he should be in charge of Bulls basketball.
On the show or just in general?
I mean, either way. Either way works for me, actually. He'll make some good decisions.
Oh, I think so.
Why don't we get Wani up in here?
He's here, man. He's rolling around.
He wants to talk about the election, he told me. He said, who do you think is going to win the election?
Whoa.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Tell him to walk down the hall to BBN.
He doesn't trust the polls.
I don't know if that's in our purview.
Hey, there's some people don't trust the polls either. You know, look at this roster he built. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
How'd that work out?
Wow.
That deserved a rim shot.
It really didn't. It really
didn't.
That's okay. I'm sorry. I'd like to apologize to everybody.
Dave Wanstead joins us next here on The Score.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look,
If you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.